Welcome to Photography Insights, the show that interviews people from the photography world. I'm your host Andrew Walmsley, and today we feature a fun-loving surfing Martian. Yes, it's Vanya Zask, a film photographer from Los Angeles, and the other half of All Through a Lens podcast. As a regular listener of All Through a Lens, it was great to feature Eric in episode 130. And he really recommended I speak with Vanya. So I did my usual research and listened to even more episodes of their podcast and just couldn't wait to get her on here. I think you'll understand this from her vibe and her constant giggles. She really is a fun and interesting lady. Vanya's work is all about water. She's never far from it with her camera. She's known for her surfing shots. And yes, I mean shooting film on, in, and under the water. What is also fascinating is her love of old technology, and she approaches everything with a can-do attitude. Whether it's medium format, large format, cyanotypes, or developing, she is that yes person. And in my opinion, it's why the show is so interesting and fun. The on-air friendship between Eric and Vanya is fantastic. Vanya is the type of person you can relate to and just chat with. So yes, we did spend hours chatting, but managed to narrow this down to 60 minutes for you all. So in this one, we are going to discuss female photographers, racial issues, Volvos, surfing, obviously, Hanimex and Nikonos cameras, saving people, dogs versus cats, opening up online, legendary fashion, parking cars, and compilation tapes. Of course, we do have time to go through the random questions, and I would say it was quite easy choosing questions for Vanya, since you do get to know a person through listening to them so regularly on her podcast. So find out about Vanya's superpower and her impulses. There'll be links to her Instagram and the podcast in the show notes. So I hope you do check those out. And for those of you who want to help the show, please don't forget you can donate through the Ko-fi donation page, and there's a link on my website for that. Please do check out the Friends of the Show for your developing needs, large format and medium format cameras, and the latest scenes from Film Dev, Chroma Camera, and Static Age. Now, anyone who's noticed recently, my zine did sell out straight away, which is absolutely fantastic. And I'm just giving you advance notice that the last few zines will going up on my website with some handmade prints by me. So keep watching the site. They are due up about the 19th of May and will be in very limited quantity. And anyone else who follows my blog recently, you'll notice I've wrote another article. This one is about the world of portraiture with my good friend Jay Good. We shot a local model in her town. And I wrote about my experience of coming out of COVID. We had fun, we had problems, we had some pictures. Jay made sure I didn't fall in the water, and I did survive jumping down the ridge. Well, anything for a shot. So I hope you do check that link out. But without further ado, let's move you on to the lovely Vanya. So let's play the music. And welcome to the show, Vanya. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for joining us from sunny California.
Yes, here I am. It's a very nice day today.
And you know what? It's really nice here. I've been in a t-shirt today myself all day. So I think you must have sent it over.
I think so.
It's been really nice getting to know you over email and obviously listening to you on the podcast now.
Yeah, what do you think? Doing okay, Eric and I?
I think it really is good. I think it's so different, and I think that's why it really works.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Eric and I kind of have a lot of things in common, but we're also very different. So I think we bring those things to the table as far as a podcast goes.
Oh, definitely.
Love it. Love doing it. And I like being on here and meeting new people doing podcasting as well. It's awesome. Thanks for
Yeah.
having me.
No, it's cool. I'm exactly the same for you. I love this community that we make and the network of friends we build up, and it's not much really about us. And I think that's quite nice because I think some people think we podcast because we talk about ourselves, but we don't really, do we?
No, not at all. I mean, a little here and there, like what I've been up to, but we don't really focus. I don't really tend to focus on myself too much when it comes to our podcast. It's mostly about lifting other people up, of course. I don't want to sound like, oh, my stuff is amazing. You know, I want to tell everybody else that their stuff is amazing and what they're doing is awesome. And again, you just meet all these people from all over that have the same passions as you, and it's just a great community. Having such a good time.
No, that's good. I'm glad you're doing it, and I'm glad you two got together because I think there's definitely room for a lot of different people and styles of shows, because let's face it, there's interview style like mine, there's people like yourself and Sunny 16, and then you obviously got the originals like FPP and the Candid Frame, but there's all sorts of versions. There's specialisms, isn't there, for large format, and it's just great.
Yeah, you could definitely find your kind of podcast when it comes to photography, I feel like.
It's really, really cool because I know, obviously, I knew Eric from working with Sunny 16 a few times, and I'd messaged him a few times, and I thought, I followed his work for quite a while, so let's get him on eventually. And then started listening to All Through a Lens, and I thought, do you know what? It's so fresh because some of the things I really like what you do here are talking about some of the historic people. And I think that's so different because I don't think anyone else does it. I could be wrong.
I don't think so. Not that I know of. At least not based on photography. I think history, there are definitely like tons of history podcasts, which I like to listen to. I like ancient Rome stuff. I'm super into history.
Same here.
So yeah, I mean, it just seemed kind of perfect to incorporate that into our podcast. It's almost like story time.
It is, yeah. I do love that. The one I was listening to tonight was, is it Julie Twer Tell Twell, the
Tool.
Native American? Because obviously he was talking about Edward Curtis, who I interviewed the great grandson. We have to talk about this stuff because it's important, not just because she's a woman, but because it's important work, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think she did something very wonderful. She took advantage of her place, because she was living with Native Americans at a school, helping out her husband, and was able to have relationships with these people and be able to photograph them very intimately. And you can almost see that in her photography, how it's not just a picture of a person. Like she knew these people. She lived amongst them.
Which is truly remarkable stuff, isn't it?
Yes,
Because
it is.
life is easy now. Any of us can travel anywhere on the planet and go take a picture of someone. But this is before people could travel, before they had money, before they had, I mean, she'd only just bought a car, didn't she?
She ended up getting a car, and she liked to drive it. It was like the Model T or something. I was trying to remember the story with the wheel, because she had to like change the wheel. And
she had to learn, didn't she?
She had to learn about all these things. It just makes you realize that really we could do anything if we've set our mind to it. Change giant tires, why not?
Yeah. You
take pictures with old camera, you know, these big old cameras. Of course, why not? Let's do this.
Yeah. And I think the two amazing things are it proves that the first thing is the camera is pretty much irrelevant. It's down to the technique and light that you use, because you don't have technology really. It's simple stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the other element is obviously the female side. Mm-hmm. Because of, you know, exclusion back in the early 1900s was a big, big thing, wasn't it?
Yes, definitely. I think having the empathy, like, I mean, women are just automatically empathetic. I feel that I can kind of connect to people pretty quickly when I photograph people and they're nervous. I'm in tune to that right away. You can feel their nervous energy. So you try to make them comfortable. And it's not just like getting somewhere and like, okay, we're going to like take this shot and here we go, we're doing this. Just act natural. Because that's just not how it works. You have to help and guide, you know, your subject and know how to direct them in the right way and what you want, and let them know what you want.
Yeah.
And what do they want?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Let them be included in that. I do notice that a lot more women, I mean, there's a little bit more of a spotlight on women, and it's been our goal as a podcast to kind of uplift and interview women and talk about women photographers. I think it's really important to I think men have had a platform and a stage for so long, and there are women out there that are doing amazing things as well. I'm definitely not discounting anything that the men are doing, because they're doing awesome stuff as well. But we just want to show, like, hey, look at this lady from 100 years ago was kind of badass. So you should check her out.
Yeah. No, you know, I can't thank you enough for bringing that to the limelight for me, because I love learning as well. And it affected me last year, talking about inclusion. And I've talked about this on the podcast before, that it made me think about interviewing more people from minorities and not just females. So it's something I've really pushed myself through. And I do think, I mean, without a doubt, white male has been the predominant thing. And some of it is probably built into us like an innate thing, where we just don't see that we're not giving people opportunity. Not that we don't want to, we're just totally oblivious to it. And I saw this, like, even on Facebook last night in a group, and the group is run by a guy who basically does charity work, and he's this really, really nice guy. And he put, this week's guest is a female, and it's great to have someone. And then first comment from someone is like, why do we need to use a word like female? And why do we need to start segregating her in this sense? And you know, after that, it was just like, it was getting stupid. It's just like, because I think people get confused that they think Black Lives Matter. They start moaning that, no, all lives matter. And you're like, no, you don't see the point of this argument, do you? And it's the same.
Yeah,
with
that
females.
Conversation is like a huge, for some reason, a huge fight. And I just don't understand why people can't understand.
Yeah.
Like, No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's not just always about you right now. Of course, everybody matters, but right now we need to come together and help so that Black lives actually matter, because they don't right now. And it's such a hard, there's such a fight in this country with race and racism and who's racist and who isn't. And it's been really a rough time, a very emotional time for us, and kind of, I don't know if it's ever like, when is this going to go away? I mean, yeah, it's not making the news at this moment, but there's someone getting pulled over right now because they're Black, you know. It's just what it is. It's just how we work, you know, how our society works, unfortunately. And I think that, a lot of people don't understand that, because their experience is different, because they did grow up in a specific type of home, and they don't understand how it feels to be a minority. I mean, personally, I'm white, but I'm also Hispanic. And for a very short period of time, I lived in Memphis, Tennessee for about 9 months of my life. And my mom is very, very Hispanic. She has dark hair and dark eyes. She's from South America. My brothers were born in Chile. I was actually born here. So I'm like the most American out of like all of my brothers and sisters. So in the 90s, which it seems like was yesterday, but I guess it wasn't. So I've been told. But in the 90s, we moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And back then it was Black and white, and that was it. And people were tripped out, because they were like, your mom like is like Spanish, that's crazy, you know. Like, we were so odd. It was like the first Spanish person that anybody's seen in Memphis. So it was such an odd, and my mom like hated it. She was like, I don't like it here, we're going back to California. Like, this is too much for me. It was very segregated, and it was an odd it was an odd experience for me to be there, just to experience like how life is in the South. I got lucky because I was from California, so I was cool. But if I didn't have, I mean, and my mom was Hispanic, so it was like, okay, well, she's not exactly white, she's kind of like Spanish. So I somehow like squeezed out of that. it was a strange time. It was just definitely strange.
I mean, over here we had a big Asian influx. It started after the wars, and the 70s was a really big time, and it's funny, it's been brought to my attention because a street photographer I know has published his zine, and he did an article in the zine about a place in London called Brick Lane, and he shot it in the 1970s, and it shows the Asian community moving in and the businesses they had, and being on the streets and their clothing. And that's how I grew up in the 80s. So we had, I went to school in an area which was very Asian. So a lot of my class were from Asian families. I was a friend to everyone, you know, that's how I am. But at the same time, there was still a lot of issues. You know, even to being a 20-year-old, did we have problems with the Asian community and segregation, and, you know, it's culture, it's food, it's everything. And it was quite weird to see this work, and I was like, I have to mention it. So I mentioned in my intro for the last episode, just to say, you know, it does have some meaning to some of us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's strong memories, but again, like you say, that's only because we've been through it.
Yeah, I think when you, I mean, California is very mixed, but you can move to certain areas where there's like obviously more like white people or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, it's, you know, I live in Los Angeles and it's pretty mixed. We have a very wonderful mix of people, and I am very proud to raise my daughter here where there's a mix of people, and we are just all people, and you know, and we all have history and culture, and it's great. But yeah, you go to certain places and it's just, when I went to Kansas with Eric, was that last July? I was like, this is very white. There's a lot of white people here. I don't think I've seen any Hispanic people for a long time. It's incredible that there's still places that are like that. But it's true. It is. But yeah, I moved a lot growing up. I went to several, like, 8 or 9 different schools as a child. So I've experienced a lot of poverty because we moved to a lot of poorer areas. Mm-hmm. And I got to experience just different, you know, country lifestyles, city lifestyles, everything. So I feel like I have a good appreciation of people and scenery as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it grounds us. I'm the same. I had a very poor upbringing as well, and I'm thinking about using it in my photography, maybe coming up with like a personal project sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We like cars in our family, so
because don't you drive an old car?
I do. Well, it's not, I wouldn't say it's terribly old, but it's a 82 Volvo station wagon.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a beauty. It's at the shop still. It's getting fixed.
It is it.
So I've been driving. I have a Sprinter as well. It's my camp car, and I've been driving that around this past winter, which has been great because didn't really go anywhere. It's a pandemic. But starting it and having heated seats has been a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll miss those when the Volvo works again.
Do you think that's like your personality? You like the old car, you want to keep it going sort of thing then?
Absolutely. I think if it's not broke, don't fix it type thing. I have that kind of attitude. I like things that need minimal amount of work. Mm-hmm. So I prefer, and so in photography, I prefer cameras without batteries. Things that are just trusty, old trusty cameras that just will workhorses. They don't die.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about my Volvo. Which is funny because it's at the shop right now, but it's actually at the shop because I'm trying to get it to pass smog. So in California, we have a very strict smog rule, and it's not passing, so I'm trying to get it to pass. So it does run. It's good. I'm just trying to get it to be up to code, and I'm not, you know, doing troublemaker stuff and getting illegal things done to it.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, I think everybody knows about California in that sense, though. I mean, do you think surfing's like one of them other things as well, then, that's just sort of overtaken your life, or did that come from a younger age?
Well, I definitely will say that the ocean has been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. We've always, except for that one stint where we lived in Memphis for 9 months, I've lived by the ocean, and we've taken drives to the beach when we needed them. But mostly just having it in the background or having it there it's been present in my life, my whole life. I could remember from a very young age, kind of going up the hill and seeing the ocean horizon and seeing the emptiness and remembering like, oh, look at the color. It's like green today, or, oh, it's blue, at a young age. So I've always been fascinated with the ocean. I've always swam in the ocean, and I love water. I like to swim. When I go camping, it's, or hiking or anything, even like photographing, I hope that there's like something, some kind of body of water I can jump into. Like there, that always has to be incorporated into my trip, whether it's a hot spring or a river or a lake or something. I need to be by water. I feel like I dry up and I'm sad if I don't get it. So I really like to swim, and I like being, I feeling weightless in the water. As far as the community of surfing, there is definitely a community. It is a little splintered. There are different, you know, there's people that are very into like the sport of it and competition. And then there's other people that's more of like a family oriented thing, where that's kind of where I am at, because I am a family of surfers, and we do get together as families where I see my friends and their kids, and they have their surfboards, and it's like kind of more of like a,
that's nice.
Yeah, just like a nice beach day. And then there's like, you know, the hippie kids that are down there, and then their beach life all the way, and they live in their vans, which is great too. But I have a family, so I can't do that anymore. So yeah, there's definitely community there. And there's just characters, just like anything. You know, you go to your local, I guess you would say pub. I was going to say bar, but I'm going to say your local pub, and you got the guy in the corner that is the same guy that's been there, and he has a certain personality, and that's just kind of how it is in the water too. There's always like specific people that fit, like the grumpy guy, the funny guy, what, you know, it's just, they're all there. They're all there. So I really enjoy kind of just being in the moment, experiencing surfing, and then being able to like pull out a camera occasionally and snap a picture of what's happening at that moment.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice though. I mean, how long have you been taking photos while surfing then?
Not very long, actually. It's probably been about 4 years now.
Okay.
That I've been really, like four or five years, I've been really into taking a camera out. Like I would take one out occasionally here and there, like a disposable. And then I decided that I was going to just like really look for the types of cameras I could actually use and surf with that were small enough, compact. I definitely take inspiration from Leroy Granis. He's a local photographer who an old, you know, from the 60s, who would take a Nikonos out and shoot with it while surfing. And, you know, he's documented just the surf scene in the 60s here in the South Bay. And he's kind of my inspiration as far as documenting just this time right now and how surfing has changed and what surfing's doing right now in my area, because it is a little different here than, you know, say San Diego or in Northern California or even on the East Coast. So I think I just decided I'm going to try every single camera that I could find that is waterproof. And 4 years ago, it was easy to find cameras. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't too expensive. So I would get like silly. I have this one silly camera. It's like a Hanamix Amphibian. And it is the biggest, bulkiest, silliest thing you've ever seen. I think I got it for $5. It takes two AA batteries. It's 35 millimeter. And it's just so big and ridiculous. But it floats. So I could literally take a picture, throw it, surf, and then go get it. And then go swim back out and get it if I wanted to. Like, or I would just pass it to somebody else.
Oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's just... it was kind of fun to do it that way. And I've gotten a little bit more serious or crazy, however you want to say it, when it comes to taking pictures in the ocean with getting like a fancy water housing for my Pentax 645 now. But it is I think I just come to terms where I'm the happiest in the water, and I feel the most comfortable taking pictures in the water, and I just want to continue to do it.
Do you like on top of the water and underwater then? Do you like bags?
Yes. Yeah, so on top, I've done a little bit of free diving. I'm not really, I'm not certified for scuba yet. Eventually, mm-hmm. I would like to, but I do like to just free dive and go down there and take pictures as well. It's a little bit, I get a little nervous out in the middle of the ocean just because I know how to read a fish finder and I know how deep it is. Right. And it's terrifying to like just jump in the middle of the ocean when it's thousands of feet deep. It just feels so eerie. But you do end up getting clear water and beautiful images, so it's definitely worth it. I just stay close to the boat.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you get such different photos. I mean, it's lovely to see the surf community in that sense, and your family and your friends. It's nice because, like I said to you, you know, swimming is not my thing. I'm not into the water, and I know a certain other person isn't, is he?
Definitely not. If you're talking about Eric, he is not. I'm going to get him in the water this year, though, I think.
Yeah, he can swim. That's the difference. I know I'm not safe, so, you know, that's why I'm scared.
I have saved people before. I've saved at least 3 people from drowning. So I will... I'm the perfect person for him to swim with because I will save him, maybe.
There you go. It is Eric, though. Yeah, you...
Maybe I'll let him like struggle a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. If he promises to do something else, like you got him into doing cyanotypes.
Right? I somehow finally got him into doing that. It was quite a feat, but I did it.
But that's what I like. There's honesty in your show as well, in that sense. It's don't really know why I'm doing with this. I won't be doing this ever again. And it's like, yeah, that be yourself. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It's true. It is. It's great. I that's something that I really like about him. He is, so we both love animals. I consider Eric, like, definitely he's more of the cat of the podcast, and I'm more of the dog of the podcast, because like cats are like, he's very curious, and but he's also very reluctant to do things when you ask him to do it. Almost like, you know, you want to pet a cat when you want to, but they're not going to let you pet them until they're ready. Right. It's kind of the same thing. And then I'm kind of more of like the dog, where I'm really excited and adaptable, and I'm very distracted constantly. So it's like, but I'm also very loyal. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of our personalities, and for some reason it just works out. And just having this friend, like we've like blossomed this friendship with this podcast that I didn't even know I needed, and now I can't imagine like not calling Eric and talking about photography. Like, he has to deal with me for the rest of his life, and I'm so sorry for that, Eric.
What does your husband think then, that you're always talking to another bloke? I assume it's just become normal.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, luckily we're really comfortable in our own relationship, where I feel, well, I'm an independent person. I definitely like to do my own thing. And my husband's the same way. Yeah. He likes to go on his fishing trips and he likes to do his thing. And I think that we have learned and adapted our relationship because we've always had kids. Ever since we've been together, we've always had children. So taking turns, doing trips, and you know, splitting off and doing our own thing, I think has kept us together this whole time, honestly.
Well, that's, you know, what life's about, isn't it? I think it pushes us to survive, and you know, there's times where you're going to be together and you have to back each other up, and then there's times when you have to be alone and do your own thing. It's all important, but it's nice that you don't just talk of photography in that sense. There's a bit of personality coming out. So you're talking about your dogs and Marley and things like that. And I think that's really nice. So, yeah, full credit to you both for that.
Yeah, I think in the beginning we weren't going to be very personal, and then we realized, hey, we're not being very personal. I think we need to talk a little bit more about our lives. It's just easy to get lost with everything else that we're talking about, that we just kind of like, oh yeah, we should probably mention us once in a while. And that's more Eric telling me, like, hey, you should talk about what you're doing.
Yeah.
He's the one encouraging me to do that. So it's his fault.
But it's who you are. I try to be more of an open book, because I think it's important that people understand why you're doing things, and it's your character then, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You're not on TV where you're stepping into this show on a couch and the camera's looking at you, and you're behind the screen. There's no hiding, is there?
No.
You better talking about who you are and what you do, sort of thing. And that's why I loved like some of the photos. One of the photos I'm showing to Vanya now. So there's a guy surfing. He looks like the typical cool, muscly guy, but he's not a young guy, is he?
Let's see which one this is. Thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah. This guy actually is from France, and he's a photographer as well.
Ah.
And I met him in Mexico, and he was pretty stoked that I was, because he was shooting digital, and I was like, oh, I'm shooting film, So he would go out there and surf occasionally, and I just snapped that picture of him just cruising on by. this was a great place to photograph, because the waves break in the same spot every single time, so I could be where I'm at right now, and it won't break. So it's easier to photograph people surfing in a spot like that, where it's not just breaking all over the place.
So that's something you've obviously learned then, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, you never know. Every day can be different. It's just like the weather, the ocean currents, and the swells that come in, and the tides. Everything changes constantly, so it's always moving.
Okay, no, that's cool. And obviously, the other photo of this lady holding a surfboard. Mm-hmm. So, what was this about then?
So this was part of the Birdwell shoot that I did. I just actually did another shoot with them for their spring summer line. So Birdwell is a company from Southern California. It's the shorts that she's actually wearing with the little tag on the back.
Okay.
So that company has been making those like surf shorts since the 60s. And it's a very like traditional type of short. A lot of people still use them, and especially people that ride traditional longboards, which is what she's holding. So there are shortboards and there are longboarders, and longboarders are kind of more like, usually more like old school and more traditional style. That's kind of what I'm really into. And so being able to not only shoot for this company that's legendary, but also be able to shoot it in film was just like an incredible experience.
Was you nervous?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I shot this with, this was a Mamiya RB67 shot. So my 6x7.
Yeah.
And the weather was a little odd that day. It was sunny and then really overcast and foggy. So it would just like gloom out, and then it would burn off, and then it would gloom out again. Oh my gosh. So it was like constantly metering, trying to get the right speed, trying to get the shots. I was so nervous, but I ended up getting a lot of great shots. So pretty happy.
Oh, that's cool. So do you think if anyone looked at you and said, you're a cooler girl, would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. My daughter still thinks I'm cool. I'm going to go with it. I'm just gonna continue going with it. As long as I'm just gonna ride that out as long as I can.
So you should, definitely, because nearly everything is color into it. Nearly everything you do.
Well, thank you. Marley. She gets really excited. Like, I just had an article in a magazine, and she called me. She's like, "Oh my gosh, Mom, that's so cool!" So she's like one of my biggest fans, and she's my daughter. So it's really sweet, and I'm her biggest fan. And we're constantly, you know, it's good to have a good community of people around you, family, friends, cheering you on, because that's really like why compete? Why there needs to be like you should be happy for people that are doing the things they want to do. And I'm always trying to encourage Marley to, if you have passions, if you have dreams, pursue them and do them, because if that's what makes you happy, that's all I really care about. It's not about how much money you're making and if you're going to be a surgeon. It's about what makes you happy when you wake up in the morning. And does your job, does your hobbies do that for you?
Yeah, it's part of that. That's good life lessons, and I think that's all about being parents, isn't it? That we have to try and be like that to encourage them to be to do that themselves.
Exactly.
Now I try a little bit of, because you can't push your children, but you've got to help inspire. I mean, my daughter said to me the other day, because my mother-in-law said to her, "Yeah, I was looking at your dad's website the other day," and my daughter went, "You've got a website, Dad?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And she, "Oh my God, that's amazing." Because it's a new thing, you know, being 11,
yeah.
10
You're
years
like,
old.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, you encourage him a little bit. And then when we got the zine, she's like, "Oh my God, you've got your own. You're like practically famous now, Daddy."
It's amazing. I love that so much.
It is an amazing feeling, though, I've got to admit. Seeing your own work produced by someone else, it was an outstanding feeling, to be honest.
Yeah, it's such an honor.
And you know, I do plenty of looking at other people's stuff, so it was quite weird looking at my own, because it's like when you just look at any of your old photos, you're like, "Yeah, I remember that. It was all right. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. That's crap. That's crap."
We are our worst critics, definitely.
Definitely.
But you know what? Sometimes you gotta just be like, you know what? This is a good picture. This is a win. I did a good job on this. I kind of kicked ass. Yeah. I don't think we do that enough. And I think we should. I think we need to give ourselves a pat on the back when we deserve it.
Yeah.
We gotta be nicer to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We don't do it enough. And I think because we're podcasts and only talk about other people's work as well, you get so passionate for other people's styles and work. And you sometimes forget about doing your own, or we're too busy doing things for other people. Don't get your own stuff done.
Yeah, so I've been talking about making a zine for over a year and a half now, and I've had a few people finally message me like, "So are you gonna make this zine or what?" And yeah. I'm like, I kind of want to, but it just seems like there's been so much going on with the podcast and just life in general. I just can't seem to get the motivation to finish it. I feel like there's something missing there. And maybe there is a little bit of, we're constantly being sent zines, and I'm constantly seeing people's zines, and it is such an incredible thing to review these, some of these zines. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing amazing work. This is so creative. And then I look at mine, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm, I don't know if I want to, who gives me the right to review these zines?
Yeah.
Look at my zine. I don't think it's good enough yet. So I've been kind of putting it on the back burner, and I know that's a problem. I need to finish it. I need to finish that work. I know it's important for me to be able to move on from there. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping in the next couple of months I can finally finish it. We'll see.
It's so hard because I think the other side of that is because we're constantly looking at other people's work, we can also think our work is inferior, and we've got to be careful there, haven't we?
Yes, we do.
I've talked about this in the sense of, like, when I first started in photography, I was watching YouTube and listening to people and reading books, and it was all about getting a good image. And it got to the point where all I was doing all the time was looking at amazing images, knowing I couldn't do it because I wasn't good enough. I didn't have the right equipment. And now I think the equipment is not really important. Now I think most of the images aren't that important. And now, like we've said earlier, it's about trying to do something that worthwhile and intentional and this sort of thing.
I definitely think so.
It's so hard to know what we should be showing, what we should be aiming for ourselves, because we're surrounded by such good work.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that photography can help you kind of get out of your funk or get, you know, meet new people in a way. Like I really have been talking about doing this portraits project, and I'm still like, I'm almost about ready to actually start it. It's probably going to be a couple years until I finish, honestly. It's not necessarily about the end product. I think it's about me getting out of my comfort zone and putting myself out there and talking to people, having conversations with these women and taking their portraits and asking them important life questions, getting other people's perspectives on things that I do, but you know, how they do them differently. I think that with the podcast, being able to have conversations with people that, you know, like, who would have known that I would ever talk to you?
Yeah.
You know,
it
like how photography has connected us. It's a wonderful thing. And I try to be mindful of that. Like, this is such a great experience to be able to have a conversation with someone on the other side of the world. So trying to maybe not only just obviously about getting my technique down and getting, you know, good images, but also building relationships with people. And because I think kind of people are like places too. You experience a place because it's different from what you're used to. If I'm like, I went to Kansas and it was rolling hills and plains and tall grasses. It was beautiful. And that's just something that I'm not really used to seeing. And being able to like kind of have that same experience with people as well, like it's been kind of a fascinating part of just being a person and being alive.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a really good motivator as well.
I think so.
Because I think because we get into this rhythm of doing it so often, it's a nice thing. It certainly keeps me motivated through the week. Well, I think we're through the formal part of the show, Vanya, and you know what I'm going to do now, don't you?
I think so.
It's the random question time.
Oh, no.
And I had to think of a few special ones for you. So I'm going to start you with a special one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Would you prefer a skirt made of clouds, a swimsuit out of mountains, or footwear made from water?
Footwear made of water.
You'd say that. It's got water in it.
Definitely.
Okay. I bet no one's asked you that question before.
Yeah, that is a strange one.
Yeah.
I wasn't right. I wasn't expecting that one. I like it. I'm into it. Okay. But if I could, I would have the skirt and the clothes and the shoes. So just all of the above.
All of the above. Okay.
Yeah. I pick cool. D, all of the above.
Okay, our next one. You have hunted down the last roll of film on the planet. But to qualify, you have to pass a test. You have to either survive 12 hours in an old cellar or basement full of deadly scorpions, or walk through a forest of deadly spiders blindfolded.
I think I'm...
So it's dark with scorpions and you can't see with a blindfold, so...
Yeah, but it doesn't say that there's any... Is there anything in the basement that I can use?
There's no box. Because,
you know, there's usually handy stuff in basements, like matches and, you know, like I kind of feel like I have more tools mm-hmm. in the basement. So I think I'm going to go with the basement.
Okay. Well, I like your thinking. Well, it's like them questions that I never put you in the box. You've drawn a box around a room, in essence, but you've actually thought outside the box. So I like that.
Yeah, I mean, people usually carry all kinds of stuff. And maybe I'm lucky and it's a wine cellar, you know? Totally. And then I'm just like, okay, well, I just, maybe if I drink enough, it won't hurt.
Just chill out with a scorpion. Hello, mate.
Exactly. Here, pour a little for them around me. Like, here, just have some wine. Let's hang out.
And I never said that they were alive.
True. They could have been dead the whole time.
Exactly. Okay. You win the lottery. What is your first purchase?
Land.
Okay. I was going to see if you was going to do a ticket around the world or something like that, but okay.
Yeah, I want like thousands of acres, and then I'll just invite all my friends and family to live on it.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a little slice, okay, Andrew?
Yeah, oh, that's cool, yeah.
You want like riverfront, oceanfront? You want to be on the mountain?
Just oh, it's going to be mountain for me, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I like the hills. I'm a land person, definitely. Awesome. Biking, walking, I like that. No, that's nice. Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be ace to do that.
I'm a big-time daydreamer. I like to daydream. So, yeah, I have this all planned out already.
You sound like my wife. She's already got, like, millions of pounds worth spent in her head.
Right?
So, oh, yeah. So, literally, the minute if she ever won the lottery, it'd be like, we're sorted. I did say, am I in this plan? And I think she refused to answer the question. So, there you go. I'll love be homeless, it. But you know, she might give me a tenner or you know, £100 or something. You never know. Okay, it's your last day on Earth. What song do you play?
That's a really hard one.
I bet you've got quite different tastes in music.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Do you have different music for different moods and that then?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I like all sorts of music. I think I might maybe go with a classic. Maybe some piano. Maybe some Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Something more inspiring background music. So.
Mm-hmm. Good send-off music, you know?
Yeah.
But it's... Yeah, that's a hard one because I don't know. Maybe next week I'll listen to a song that I've never heard before and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing song ever. And then 2 years later, I'll be like, nah, it's not that great. We'll go back to Beethoven.
That's fair enough.
Everyone's oh, you know different. What it's going to be? it's going to be a compilation disc that I, or like a compilation tape. And I'm going to have like 10 songs on each side. Side A, side B. Boom. There's my answer.
Just don't tell me it's the 80s.
No.
Oh, thank God we're safe. My wife's more of an 80s child, you see, so the amount of crap music, one it wonders. Honestly, we have such fun talking about this rubbish.
Oh my goodness, I can imagine.
Start singing and dancing to it, and you're like, oh my God, please.
Not your favorite.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, I remember it all, but it's not something I choose to listen to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can understand that.
Yeah. Okay, your next one then. So, you've been commissioned by someone you know and trust. They say if you press a button, they will wire you $1 million. But you're not allowed to ask any questions. What do you do?
I probably push the button.
You already pressed it.
I think when they said to push it, I already pushed it. So they didn't even finish the sentence. Also, I walked in the room and I was like, ooh, button, and pushed it.
Yeah, that tells you everything about your personality.
Yeah.
That's why I like asking that one, because some people honestly like, and they have like 5 minutes and think, yeah, but what if it's kills someone or something bad? And I went, well, I'm not telling you, am I?
Yeah.
So you might win something. It could be anything, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. right, okay. You get to order your own superpower, but all the good ones have gone. So you've got a choice of rest in bitch face, critique person, or nosy Parker. Which would you choose?
I already have two of those. So I guess I'll have to go with the second one.
Oh, the critique. Oh, no.
Yes. Because I already have the other two.
Oh, well, that's fair enough, isn't it? I won't say that.
Well, okay, so I'll just tell this very tiny story. Hmm? At Manhattan Beach Pier, there's like a parking lot on the south side, and I have a specific parking spot. The problem is when people go down there, they get stuck and then they have to turn around. A lot of people just don't know how to park their cars. They're pretty small spots. Okay. I've had at least two or three people, I've had them get out of their car and I park their car for them. And they let me. I'm like, just get out of the car. Let me do it. I'll do it for you right now. And I'll do it and I'll park it for them. Oh, and then I'll show them how to use the meter and everything. And they let me do it. It's really, really funny. I don't know. I'm really good at parking. It's my special power.
That's a good special power.
Yes.
You'd be great in this country then, because we have to do parallel parking. We've got to do everything.
Oh, the only problem with the parallel parking is the, like, being on the other side. I don't know how that would feel for me. Mm. It'd be interesting.
Well, I mean, if you could park on the right side, then but you'd be all right parallel parking.
Probably. Hmm. Yeah, I think I'll be fine. Hmm. You know what? I'll give it a shot. I'll go parallel park on the other side of the road today. See how it goes. I'll let you know how it goes.
Right, well, thank you so much for going through them silly questions for me. So
of course, I like them. That's fun. Refresher. Refresher it's, questions. I like
It's your personality in it, you see, so. Would you like to tell all our lovely listeners where to check you out online?
Yes, you can look me up on Instagram at Surf Martian, and also at All Through a Lens podcast on Instagram as well. And we have a Patreon, and there's a WordPress somewhere. If you just search All Through a Lens, you can find it. And at some point I'll have working on a new website right now. hopefully I'll get to the point of publishing it, but for now, just Surf Martian.
Everything takes time though, doesn't it? It's got to be how you want it.
You know, us visuals, takes forever to get everything perfectly right. Everything has to be very intentional, perfect, in the right spot.
I don't know exactly what you mean. So then obviously my last question is, I do that pay it forward scheme. Have you anyone in mind that you think I should check out?
Yes. Rick Barbosa. It's to interview, right?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Rick Barbosa. It's r_Barbosa for photos. The reason why I am just hyped up on his stuff right now, because he has like 200 followers and he has these series of photos that I just absolutely can't get enough of. Hmm. He is a worked for the, I'm pretty sure, forestry.
Okay.
And he clears forests and kind of helps them so they don't, you know, like for fires and things like that. So okay. He does control burns and they do forest clearing, and he shoots 35 millimeter film while he's out there sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he has been sharing some of those photos, and they are just fun. I just can't get enough of them. I'm constantly sharing his stuff on my story. Like, you guys, follow this guy. He's amazing. He's so good. Oh, and I'm just, I feel like when you see those people that just have a different eye than you and talent, and you, no one knows about them, and you just want to share their work. And I think that's definitely Rick for sure.
Oh no, thank you so much for that, Ryan. I think it's a really nice thing when you can come across someone like that and you start sharing them. I came across a lady, I think it's Milady, M-I-Lady, on Instagram, and I was like, your portraits are beautiful. And I was like, would you ever like to like write an article how you do this work? She has like younger people, and they'll have like Victorian sort of outfits, and it's really soft skin, and the edit around the backgrounds is all gorgeous. And she's like, oh, I'm not very comfortable. I'm a bit nervous. And I've been following her for, say, I don't know, maybe 2 years. And then she's seen a few people, and they said to her that her work isn't good enough. And she should do things that are original. And I just messaged her and I said, I think you should tell them people to shut up and do what you like. Because exactly. I said it's amazing. And
yeah.
She put some up there earlier this year, and she's gotten people following her work now, and she's up for an award, and people are noticing her.
And yeah, that's incredible.
She mentioned me and said, you always believed in me, didn't you? And I was like, oh, well, that's really nice that you remember me. So, you know, thank you.
Yeah, if I can help anybody like build some, because some people are just like, oh, you know, like, it's all right. I do okay. But I think sometimes we need to be better. And I said this earlier, I think we all should be better to ourselves and give ourselves some credit once in a while when we do something that we like. It doesn't matter if anybody else likes it. It's what we like, what we love to do, because that's really what's important, obviously. Of course, it's nice to get recognition from other people, but at the end of the day, if you love what you're doing and it makes you happy, continue it. And I will be your cheerleader. I'll be like, yay, over here. And you will too.
Oh, exactly. Well, I think we all think like that, and we're happy to show each other's work and support each other. And you know, I defend my friends when they need to, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a great space, and you know, thanks for doing what you do, Vanya. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do. This is awesome. I hope you'll have me on again one day. I already want to come back on. We haven't even finished. I'm like, so when do I get to come back and say hi?
I know it's something I thought about because a few people said they'd like to come back on. Thank you so much, Vanya. It's been lovely.
Yeah, I know. I had a blast. I can't wait to listen. I'm so excited.
It's nice. And maybe we can do something together, us three, one time. We'll have to see if we can come up with an idea or something.
I know. Maybe come. I might have to come visit you.
Yeah, you're definitely welcome. I'll show you around here anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well,
all right. Well, have a good night.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's 10:45 here, so it's getting late.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And let's chat again soon.
Yeah, you take care. Thanks, okay. Vanya.
Bye.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to that episode. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed interviewing. Please don't forget, if you want to get involved, I'm starting to put out there on social media the list of guests for that week. You are welcome to submit any questions you want to ask, and hopefully I'll read them out for you. Whether you want to do that through Instagram, direct message, you can just click, if you click on the direct message bit, there's a button there and you can record and send that right across. But there's many apps you can do, or email me, or send me a DM on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, that's cool with me. For those of you who want to support the show, please don't forget, iTunes reviews are always appreciated, and obviously I will read them out the following week for you, and I tend to use them on social media, so that's all very much appreciated. If you'd like to help contribute towards the show, then don't forget there's my Ko-fi page where you can submit anything from $1, pounds or upwards, and I'll keep a note on there what I'm trying to achieve as the months and years go by. For those who want to keep coming back to the show, don't forget you can just subscribe in your friendly podcast app of choice, and there's a weekly newsletter on my website, flogger.co.uk, so that's PHLOGGER, and you'll get an automated email from me, and that tells you each week what's gone up on the website, so it's the podcasts and any articles I've wrote. So yeah, thank you so much, and I'll see you again soon. Bye.